are a God who reveals himself, who does not give up on us, whose steadfast love keeps on working on us until we will one day be fully transformed into the image of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the blessed calling of being your ambassadors, that we would call others to be reconciled to you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our time as we seek to take the sermon and to put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to start out by asking some questions. This will be more of a just us all talking together, so no. It's a fireside chat, exactly. What things do we tend to get distracted by when we live in an upside-down, crazy world? What are the things that draw our attention away from being disciple makers? No, go for it. What do you think? If you're,
he talked,
huh? Well, what sort of things can draw our attention? I mean, I mentioned a few, but politics, okay. What do we normally fear with regards to politics? Well, you don't fear anything. That's good. It's good to hear you guys don't fear anything with politics. Nothing? Okay, so the question is basically, what's our responsibility? Yes, we're to trust in the sovereignty of God. Yes, we're not to fear the outcome, but we are to be faithful. And so you talked about talking to neighbors, voting, okay? Both which are good depending on how we talk to our neighbors. If we talk to our neighbors in fear or in anger, obviously that wouldn't be a good thing. And voting, I want to ask a question. If you're talking about politics, what's the best thing, according to God's word, that you can do?
Pray.
You know, we say that, but do we do it? Because I normally, for me, it's like, okay, have I researched everything online? Have I made sure I know everybody's arguments? Have I watched all the debates? Have I... You add in the fill in the blank, which I'm not saying you shouldn't make yourself aware as a good citizen, you should. But where does prayer fit in that process for me? Where's my heart in that process? And I want to bring up a responsibility that we do have as Christians more than citizens. We should be like John the Baptist, calling out sin. We should act like the prophets of old, calling people to repentance, right? Because the Lord is coming. That's a responsibility that we have that's being a good citizen of heaven, calling people to be reconciled to God. And in the midst of an election, yes, should we know and vote our conscience? Should we seek to vote for someone who upholds what is right and does what is good? On a different side note, will an unbeliever ever act like a believer? No. Dead people don't breathe. They don't walk. And so you should vote your conscience, you should study up, you should be a good citizen, but you should rest you know what? No matter how hard we worry, will we affect any sort of change on a national level by our worries? No. Let's take it to another level. Will the electing of an individual change the plan of God? It won't, right? Let's take it to another level. Will electing somebody who makes laws change our country for the true good? You can say yes or no. I'm just asking. Did God's law, which he gave to a country, because it was a theocracy, did it make it a good country? No, actually. That country looked exactly like every other country. Why? Because you can't legislate holiness. Right? Hearts don't change for the good when there's a law. Can you think of any passages that would apply there? Any passages that apply to the law not being able to change hearts? Book of Romans, right? Talks about that reality. It's interesting that, yes, government should have just laws, right? The government has been elected by God to do what? To punish what's evil and to bring about and praise what's good. We should pray for that. We should seek that. But we should also understand that dead people act like dead people. They act just like we did before we were saved. They follow after the lust of their flesh. Right? The guy that discipled me often talked about his favorite team, which is Tennessee. Sorry, Ken. It wasn't Bama. But at one point, he came to the realization that his Saturdays/Sundays were either really, really exciting or really, really, really depressing. All based on how a bunch of 18 to 21-year-olds played with a little piece of pigskin, right? It's not so different than us, though, with politics. Right? We keep putting our hope in something that is hopeless. It's hopeless. We know it's hopeless because Christ needs to come again so that there is some hope in a ruler and a leader. It's interesting all the different ways in which we can look for our government to do what only Christ can do. Right? So, what all, other than informing neighbors or talking to neighbors, voting, praying, what does it mean to be a good citizen? Anything? Live quietly. Okay. What? Following Christ, yes. Love your neighbor as yourself, no matter which political party they're a part of. Loving your neighbor as yourself. I'm speaking a little bit more with your relationship to government. Obey and submit to those leaders that God has placed over us. And that's hard, right? That's hard with good leaders. That's really, really hard with wicked leaders, right? Is that just external, the following of laws or the submitting to leadership? Or does it include a heart component, an attitudinal component? Everybody's quiet today.
Well, I would say that it does have a significant attitude. It has to be from the heart. I'm thinking of we're saying about wives submitting to their husbands as a husband submit to Christ. There's a sense of as we as believers submit to God our Father, then we submit to the government underneath. They're in that same
So by submitting to the delegated authority of government, we are proclaiming our submission to Christ. It's a good, very, very good connection. When we think of, I know most of your stomachs all churn at certain thoughts. Mine does too, don't get me wrong. What would that mean if whoever wins and they don't happen to be the party that we would like? What sort of battle are we going to have in our heart to have the right attitude of submission?
Just pray for them.
We do have to pray for them, right?
Ask the Lord to guide their lives to the right way it should be.
We definitely need to. Praying for their salvation, praying for God's blessing on their life. To strengthen them to do a very, very difficult job. Praying for their salvation. I think that's a pretty easy one. No matter which candidate makes it into the White House, we can pray for their salvation. But what's the challenge going to be for our own heart if somebody who's not who we wanted in the White House ends up in the White House? What's the struggle in our heart going to be like, Tom? That's true. We follow Christ. And you know what? We always follow God rather than man with regards to the truth. When they call us to sin, you're absolutely right. We do not follow it. We've got to be careful, though. A lot of times they don't necessarily ask us to sin, but sometimes we like rebellion. It's kind of in our cultural DNA, and it's in our real DNA that we don't like to submit to any form of government.
We should be thankful for no matter who comes in.
Thankfulness. Okay, how can we be thankful if, you know, somebody comes in that's like Stalin or Mao? If you don't know your history, you can look at them. Very, very evil men. How do we be thankful? Okay, we can be thankful because God put them there. I think we can even go further. We can be thankful that God put them there for a purpose. We can also be thankful that they're not the absolute authority, God is. That though they think they're working for their own glory, God's actually working for His. We can be thankful in the midst of horrible leadership like that if we understand that all that God gives is good. And that gets a little hard. It gets really hard, not even a little. Michelle.
And that's not what a Christian.
Okay, you bring up a great point. We don't want to be identified or find our identity in, is probably a better way to say it, in a political party or a movement. We want to find our identity in Christ. We want to be known as Christians in the proper sense of the word, not this party, that party, not even this country or that country, right? Our nationality is nothing in comparison to the reality that we've been bought with a price. We are now living for a different world. So I want to ask the question, you say we have to be careful that we don't get integrated with a political movement. How do Christians, or how should Christians, do that? How is it that you can be faithful in doing your civil duties without being identified by them? If that's a good one. Another way to say it is, how do you be in the world but not of the world? How do you be in politics without being a politician? Huh? Go ahead, Matt. Whatever God says.
Own team transgresses this. We should be able to rebuke that and condemn that just as strongly as when the other team does. Because the way the world, the being of the world, is like the tribalism. My team must win. In order for my team to win, I must squash your team. And even if my team does something bad, just don't worry about it. The goal is to win. So. Excuses, but that's not, we are not supposed to be so sworn to a team that we excuse sin that the leaders we would want would commit.
I liked your air quotes for want. The better of two evils. So Matt's point was, just for everybody to hear, is to say that we should call out sin or error on either side. It doesn't matter whether it's quote-unquote the side we voted for or not. I would add to that, it's interesting how often we want to say, I didn't vote for so-and-so, or I didn't vote for this person or that person, if we don't like them, which is basically trying to say they're really not my president, which is really denying God's action in the reality of it, right? Doesn't really matter who you voted for the day after the election when a president is elected. They are the president that God has given us. And as I said earlier, neither of the candidates are as bad as we most likely deserve. Right? If God's going to send judgment on our nation, which He has every right to do, and we can say even with Daniel that you're right when you curse, no matter who is in the presidency, we should be able to thank God and say, God, thank you for this person. You have placed them there for a purpose. You will only allow them to do what you will allow them to do. And Lord, we deserve far worse. Right? We can actually be thankful no matter who the person is, because they're delegated authority. The world will not end if Donald Trump becomes president or Kamala becomes president. You know, the culmination of all of history is when Christ becomes king. We're waiting for that, and there's no election. He's the king. He rules and reigns now. He will rule and reign perfectly then. All right. So, first thing to the question of how do we be good citizens without being party people? Not party, rah, rah, but, you know, donkeys and, it's donkeys and elephants, right? There's no giraffe party, apparently. They used to try to have a moose party, but that guy got assassinated a long time ago. Anybody know the bull moose party? Was anybody around back then? I didn't think so. Pretty close. For all you youngsters out there, that was, what's his name? Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, that's right. Yep, there you go. The bull moose ballot. I think that's a very, you know, it's a cooler animal than the other two. But how else can we call out sin? I think we've talked a little bit about some other things, but go ahead. See if I can summarize, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. We should engage with thought and truth. That's probably the better way to say it. We should engage with truth, not emotion. I would add to that, it's not just that we engage, but we should engage in such a way that we can direct conversation to the truth of the gospel. If we're putting our hope in political parties, if we're putting our hope for the future that, you know, the sky's going to fall if, you know, A or B candidate wins, let me tell you, the sky is going to fall eventually no matter who wins. And it's only going to be saved when Christ comes. And so that's got to be our hope. But if we're living for the candidate to win instead of living for Christ, it's going to be evident when we talk to people. We need to talk about even bigger problems than the candidates want to talk about. Because the biggest problem that we have is what? What's the biggest problem that every human being faces? I heard it. It's one of those Bible Sunday school answers. Sin, right? The biggest problem that a person has is their relationship with God. It's what causes all the suffering, pain, death that's in the world, right? You guys know all this, but we know it, but we forget it so easy. I forget it so easy. Maybe you don't. What? It's just me. Okay. Well, that makes me feel better about your guys' sanctification. You can help me with mine. When we're talking about the ails of the world, you know what? A person's fiscal responsibility and policy doesn't even get in the top 10, right? Their foreign policy doesn't even get in there, right? The real problems that we should be trying to redirect people to think about is their mortal soul. They're going to come before the judge of the universe. I should have said immortal soul, I believe, if any of you were wondering. Oh, by the way, total squirrel moment, but 2 weeks ago, it was Isaiah 14, if you were here. Not 34, or Ezekiel, sorry, Ezekiel, it was Ezekiel. Ezekiel 14, not 34. I heard afterwards that many people were reading through their entire copy of Ezekiel trying to find out where in the world I was at. Is she straightening you out? Yeah, they note all my faults. So they're like, Dad, you said Ezekiel 34. So if you were wondering 2 weeks ago, it was Ezekiel 34. That was my squirrel moment. So I would say we need to be addressing basically the difference in our worldview. And the difference in the worldview is that if you're the average unbeliever in the United States right now, moving up until November, salvation and all that's good or all that's bad is coming down to how a bunch of people cast a ballot. That's not us, though, right? For us, what's our hope? What is the glorious thing that can happen, and what's the worst that can happen? Worst thing that happened, we die, go to be with our Savior. Right? Best, our Savior comes. And if we have that assured peace and that settlement in our soul, if we're not running around and all worried and pent up with all this frustration, when we talk to people, you know what happens? They take note. Somebody wants to argue or to talk about, you know, this bad thing or that bad thing or this great politician or that great politician. Say, you're worrying about a kingdom that's of this world. That's only for a short time. What about your soul? What about after death? What about after the next four or five presidents disappoint? We're in the same spot. Every 4 years, every 2 years. It's the end of the world as we know it. And you know what? What are we promised in Scripture that's going to come? What? Tribulation. What did Christ tell them? You see wars and rumors of wars, and it's still not even imminent. But don't be terrified. I love how God knows our feeble little souls. Right? Can you remember, who in here remembers when Bill Clinton was elected? All right. Bill Clinton. You remember the rhetoric from way back when Bill got in there? Can you think about the things that were problematic, that were a shock to our society? Did you know that Bill Clinton is more moral than probably either of the people we have to elect, and that we're not even shocked nor chagrined at the immorality of the individual we will probably vote for? That's how far our culture's moved. It's moving towards a greater and greater debauchery. We shouldn't be shocked if we look back in history, the Roman world. Are we there yet? No, but we're pretty close. You hear the Roman world and its fornications and its debauchery. If you're watching the news, that's been going on here. Politicians. You hear about it and you shake your head because of the wickedness of it. That should bring us sorrow there, but the grace of God go I. These people are living in such darkness that that's become normal and okay. They need Christ. What happens apart from God saving the souls of individuals who are walking in darkness? Well, we are going to end it there. Hopefully it was a challenge to you. I just want to tell you, if you're resting in Christ, and be working on that each day, repent when you're not. I have to do this, right? I get excited about something, I get angry or upset about something I hear in the news. And you know what I try to do? I try to stop and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not trusting that you're in control. I'm not trusting that you are working your plans out. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are. And I would challenge you, sometimes there are stumbling blocks that are called Fox News or CNN or. If the fruit of your actions is causing sinful fleshly reactions, it's good to change your processes. It's funny, we've talked to several people who have aging adult parents. We're all aging, but you know, you start getting up to a certain level and you're really aging. And the reality of what that does for somebody who's older, who's listening to the rhetoric, sometimes there's less of a filter. Know yourself. You know, if something's causing you to sin, if you're supposed to cut off your arm or throw out your eye, maybe it's turn off the television, turn off the sensational news that wants to keep you in a constant state of rage. And focus on what God has for you today, who you can share Christ with today, how you can walk with Christ today. We don't know about tomorrow. Somebody told me when we were sending our child Brian to college. We were still in the Middle East and we dropped him off for college. And one pastor's wife told my wife, she said, "The fear of the thing is worse than the reality of it." I took that to heart and I applied it in other areas. How often do I waste so much time, so much emotional energy, and it never happens? Or when it happens, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because, oh, surprise of surprises, I don't know the future. Well, why don't I ask Kevin, will you pray for us?
Sure.
All right.
Amen.